Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. We want to look at something very important today and throughout the month. And I think until we get to where we want to get to on the subject, we'll stretch it as much as possible. I call it discerning the times. And basically, how to have a stable and consistent Christian life. But by and large, I will be looking at stability generally. How does it matter for a Christian to be consistent and be stable? And particularly in the times that we're in or we're at, both ways, we need to get wisdom from the Word of God. Matthew's Gospel 1. It's good to look at that. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, it says, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It establishes the humanity of Jesus by taking us back to books written before it, which we call the Old Testament. And it establishes, like I said, his humanity. In chapter 22, where Jesus himself engages the Pharisees with a question in verse 42, who think ye the Christ? Whose son is he? They said, of David, which exactly is what we read in Matthew 1:1. Then it says, then doth David, verse 43, in spirit call him Lord, saying, that's quoting Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? He's not saying he's not his son. He said, how? And that establishes, you know, the prophecy of who Christ is. The humanity is what is in prophecy, not his person. His person is a fact of the Old Testament. So in Matthew 28 and 18, where it establishes his divinity or deity, he says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is what power given to me in heaven and earth. That's only God that can say that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Then it says, amen. End of the world, amen. So I am with you, establishes his deity. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 1, and that's the way to read the Old and New Testament together, is humanity is what you see as prophecy. So in Mark's Gospel 1:1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets. Notice again, Mark uses the word beginning. Matthew uses generations, which is the word Genesis. Mark uses the word NRK, which is the same Greek word in the Septuagint Bible of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 2 says, as is written by the prophet, or in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall go prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That's reading Genesis into Malachi, into Isaiah. And that's how to establish Bible truth, not to use a particular text to say something. In Mark's Gospel 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, that's the word devils. He says, they shall take up serpents, they speak the new tongue, sorry. They shall take up serpents, if they drink any devil, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Right hand of God is another name for the physical, visible manifestation of God in the Old Testament. This establishes again Jesus as God. It says in 20, of course, one establishes him as a man, so the first chapter. Then it says, then went forth and preached everywhere the Lord walking with, that shows his divinity, a deity, and confirmed the word with signs following, amen. So the four gospels are written to establish God in man. Now Luke's Gospel 1:1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order the declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as he delivered them to us. From the beginning we have witnessed the ministers of the word, seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first writing of the most excellent Theophilus, Thou mayest know the assembly of those things where I have been instructed. Again, it shows the audience of one, which is Theophilus, and we said that it's arguably so that Luke is the only Greek, or let's say, Gentile writer of scripture. So he focuses a whole lot on the narrative of the gospel to the Gentile world. In Luke's gospel 24, this is after the resurrection, and verse 25. And he said to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses," which is Genesis, to Deuteronomy, "and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." There is a deliberate attempt of every writer to take us back to the Old Testament, because that's what will provide context to what they are writing. We're going to see the importance of that in our study today in the coming weeks. In verse 44, "These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And he opened the understanding that they might understand scriptures. Again, he points them to the context. The context of his life, the context of the writings, remains the Old Testament books. John's Gospel 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word." Again, don't forget that the word "beginning" is used again in Luke 24 and 27. "In the beginning," K-A-R-C-H-E, "was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is not word speaking word. It's more of the word in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, word of the Lord. Word of the Lord is a visible manifestation of God to men. It's called the word of the Lord. To Samuel, he stood and spoke to Samuel. To Abraham, he showed him things. Genesis 15, verse 1 and 2. So the word of the Lord is what John now uses the word logos for here, not a speech, rather a visible manifestation of God. In John's Gospel 20 and verse 22. Again, it establishes his humanity in the three synoptic gospels. But in John is very particular about showing us his divinity, deity. In John 20 and 22, he breathed on, which is the word emphasis in the Greek. I will read the Greek Old Testament, and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So in other words, we find John, that word emphasis there is in Genesis 2:7. So we have John establishing the divinity of Jesus, while the other three establish his humanity much more. Of course, all of them do establish the fact that he's God, but just the kind of emphasis that they have. Again, we're looking at majorly stability and how much of God's word we have to instruct us in this order. You know, the truth is, many a believer hardly know how to handle different seasons of life. And particularly if you have been schooled, or should I say you've been, what's the word now? You've been fed, maybe that's the word, with a sugar-coated gospel, and where rest for you is doing nothing, faith for you is just believe and go away, where prayer for you is a contract. You sign, God signs, whatever you want, he gives you. And you might not understand Christianity. So, for many believers like that, things would appear very dodgy, you know, in their minds. So, it appears dodgy. I mean, the things would appear like, what's going on? And you know, and particularly when we kind of love to cherry pick texts of scripture and use them, you know, the way we love to use them. And so we kind of get confused. I prayed, but I did, you know. Believers have things like that to say. But the Word of God does instruct us in how to be consistent. You find carnal Christians find it difficult to be consistent. Be consistent. In fact, someone will tell you, that's how I am. You know? And very, very interesting. Matthew 13 and 34. How important is it to be consistent? I said, quite a number of believers will have, just that's how I am. That's how I am, you know. And you have things, I just changed my mind. The people say with speaking in tongues. I just changed my mind. How important it is it for believers to be stable and consistent? Matthew 13 and 34. All these things spake Jesus to the multitude in parables. Without a parable spake he not unto them. Then he says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I'll open my mouth in parables, I'll utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, of course, we studied this phrase, foundation of the world, to mean the book of Genesis, majorly, why is it foundation? Actually, the word foundation and the word katabole, K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E, is another word for sowing seed. All right? And Genesis is a seed book where we find, let me put it like this. Much of Bible motif and pattern is founded in Genesis. If you study Genesis well and you understand Genesis, you can literally see the patterns evolve. And that's why, you know, the book was deliberately called Genesis. It's not the title the writers gave it. All right? But the opening statement is Bereshith or Reshith, which is a period of planting or a period of beginning. So, and that's much of a Greek word, looking at patterns. So here he says, why is Jesus teaching in parables? Matthew says he's teaching in parables because that is the Reshith of the Bible. That's the foundation of the written word. Now, in Genesis, in Psalm 78 verse 2, which is exactly where he picked this from, Psalm 78 and verse 2, he says, I'll open my mouth and speak in parables, dark speeches, the psalmist says, dark speeches, or dark sayings, parable there is proverbs. Then he says, dark sayings, which is things that need to be explained. And it comes off to say, which from the beginning, and we're going to read all that into that is the opening pages of the scriptures is presented in a proverbial figure of speech way. I remember somebody walked up to me and said, I want to understand the dome of the world. And I said, what do you mean? He said, the Bible. I said, number one, there's nobody who wrote the Bible that was a physicist. They were not writing physics. So what you are reading there is to cross from the supernatural world to the natural world to explain the supernatural. So the Bible firstly shows you the supernatural world using, I said, that's, if we're going to talk about the unseen world, you are going to use things in the seen realm. But the things you are going to use to explain the unseen world will be very limited in the expression. And that's exactly what happens in Genesis. But by and large, the point here is, he says that Jesus taught in parables. Why? Because that is the reshith of the Bible. That is the beginning of the scriptures. And so, and Mark says something very critical because, and the reason why this is even said is because the parable of the sower is a Genesis parable. Notice it's about seed bringing forth fruit. Seed bringing forth fruit. And everything in Genesis is meant to be like that. Bringing forth fruit, showing patterns. The sin of Adam is meant to be an archetype. Are you here? The Garden of Eden is meant to be an archetype of temples and sacred spaces in the earth. So you find that pattern, the motif of scripture in Genesis. Don't forget, our study is on stability, stable Christian life, discerning the times, to discern the times and the stable Christian life. So he says here that it's from the beginning, the word beginning here, or old, is the word quedem, at the start, at the beginning, or before, just of that nature. In Mark 4, I'm friends with the parable of sower now. In Mark 4, verse 13, Jesus said, "Know ye not this parable? How then would you know all parables?" Now, the question I would ask is it referring to the parables he gave or parables generally? Well, it's the two. How would you understand parables generally? Now, we already can see that the Bible opens up in its expressions in a parable form. So if you don't understand the parable of the sower, how would you understand it? But this is the reason why when I started to handle Bible teaching and Bible study some few weeks ago, this was the one I taught the most. I did series on the parable of the sower, because if you don't understand this parable, how would you understand any other parable? But the point is that you need to understand the parables. You need to understand Bible parable and what it's leading to. And it says that Genesis is like that in parables. So you must be able to read the meaning. The key thing about parables is, what is the meaning? Because when Jesus was done parables, so the disciples called him and said, "Sir, what exactly are you saying?" He said, "Well, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, but to those that are without, it is not given." Why do we use parables? Because in sin they can see, hear, and they can hear, lest they believe and converted and they are healed and are saved. So Genesis therefore presents for us a seed form of the walking with God, a seed form of man's life and character generally. Don't forget, we're looking at the sign of the times, how to have a consistent and stable Christian life. How important is stability in the Christian faith? And you know, today we face a whole lot of temptation in our world. We are exposed to numerous ideas. Knowledge is expanding negatively, positively, you know, and there's none that's neutral. And if you don't know it, you begin to change your opinion about things per day because of your exposure to, you know, different people, different times, and different climes. But then the Word of God remains our anchor and our guide and our safe space in the world today. Are you here? Right. Look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. May I read this one? You just knock it off. It says in verse 7, "I form the light." Isaiah 45:7. "I create darkness." Yeah? "I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do these things." Well, easy way out. Isaiah is stupid. If he just joins our study group, he will write such nonsense. Isaiah? You mean Isaiah that Jesus quoted all the time? Isaiah that Paul literally copied his phrases? Why is Paul not copying yours? And the challenge we have is when you read the word evil. Ah! "I make peace, evil, darkness." It's not my portion. It's not my portion. If I can even say Isaiah, return to sender. And the scripture you use for Isaiah is "no weapon formed against me." That is in Isaiah. I remember somebody was arguing with me about, he was trying to say that, I was talking about, it was before we did the ox and the corn. 2018 or so. So we'll say, well, I believe it's Paul's choice to work for a living outside the work of a ministry. So I said, so I went into scriptures and texts, you know, about Paul's choice. And he said, then I was trying to say that that's Paul, that we can't be following Paul. Anyway, we can't be following Paul. He said, I said, "Pastor Chris, I know you like Paul a lot." He said, "But this thing is looking like idol worship." You know, this is, he doesn't know, I've heard it many years ago. Look at idol worship. This is, you are glorifying a man above God. This is Jesus. So he went on and on and on. So I now said, it's fine. I mean, let's leap out. So, what do we do to be this? I said, the Bible says, we must, those that, live at the temple, minister at the temple, live at the temple, the laborer, I said, who said it? He said, I know it's Paul. I said, you are using Paul to contradict Paul. You are just mischievous. So what's Isaiah saying here? And it takes us to Genesis chapter 1 because Isaiah definitely is writing from Genesis. Genesis is where we find that same word, bara, which we are going to look at in a moment. I create. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. How does it sound? That the very opening words of your Bible has darkness. Without form and void. Tohu bohu. The very opening words of your Bible. So if the very opening words of the Bible has to deal with darkness and confusion, then you had better get ready. The very opening statements of your Bible deals with darkness, confusion, and it says the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And Isaiah says, I create darkness. I create evil. So, we need to settle down and then try to understand Bible language. Now put your hands in the air. Let's see. I'm just going to open some text for us, which we're just going to bring together to make sense. Luke 11. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Then he calls them names that definitely will make them want to kill him. 49 says, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay. Slay has a new meaning now. Slay and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation. Did you notice what Jesus didn't say? He didn't say, I'll send them prophets and apostles that shall slay them. He says, no. It's the other way around. They will persecute and slay, kill. That's what slay means. So, well, so in case your husband is a King James person, so I want to slay for you, eh? You know, and he says that they will persecute and kill. And Jesus shows us where the pattern is from. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world, Genesis, foundation of the world, may be required of this generation from the blood of Abel. Jesus says the reason why they will eventually kill him was because a motif, a pattern, had been set from the foundation of the world. Don't ignore such things. He uses the word foundation of the world, again, just like Matthew 13:35, katabole. The seed has been sown. And that's what I was trying to show you the other day, in the series, I think it has to be Seated on High, that Genesis 3:15, where it says the seed of the woman and that of the serpent is not one. It's a generation. And somehow, this is a very interesting study, the Hebrew of that text doesn't give you a conclusion. Not there. Now, Jesus sets a pattern here, and it leads us to the foundation of the world, Genesis chapter 4 precisely, and uses the word katapole, foundation of the world. So go back to Genesis 1 again, so see. Let there be light, and there's light. So darkness and light are found in the beginning. Now, did you notice that the darkness was not extinguished? It wasn't. it separated the light from the darkness. Are you here? That's what he does. He separated the light from the darkness in verse 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. There was nowhere, if you will read, the darkness was destroyed. There was no more, there was none. It's not there. He separated the light from the darkness. Now in Genesis 1 and 14, go back to Genesis 1 and 5 again. It says, the darkness he called what? Night. That's what he called darkness. He called it night. Okay? Why not in the physics class, right? He called the darkness night. In verse 14, right? And God, and this is why you need to, you know, like in the university or the whatever school, college of education, there's compulsory course. Right? There are some teachings we do in this church that are compulsory course. Law in Genesis, so great salvation, in the Spirit by the Spirit, seated on high. I will have the assumption of the New Testament writer that I'm your pastor. Genesis 1, 14, verse 14. Let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide what? The day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons. So there was no extinguishing of the night or darkness. Let them be for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. It was so. Now let's take 16 and slowly. And God, together, let's go. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars also. Look at 18. To rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. Now the word good is tohub, we're going to see shortly, T-O-W-B, it means proper. There was nowhere in Genesis darkness was extinguished. Are you here? Pay attention here. So darkness is not extinguished. What else? Notice that the chaotic seas. In verse 2, the chaotic waters now that had the tohu bahu in verse 2 was also not extinguished. What happened to it in 7? Or 6, it was divided. The word badal, B-A-D-A-L, which means separated, and God took one for himself. So it's divided. And not just that, you found out again that the waters in 20 brought forth creatures. 20 and 21. Gulls, creatures. Not Pastor Wally. There's also Pastor Wills. Now, let me just move this. We've studied that the difference between the seas and the waters, right? Seas, waters, chaos, and all that. So we have chaotic waters were also not extinguished. In fact, creatures came out of the chaotic waters. So, Genesis doesn't give us a picture of darkness is gone. Evening or night, sorry, is gone, or the chaotic waters are gone. Doesn't give us that idea. Not in Genesis. Rather, it says to rule over the night and the day. That's what we have. So getting back to what Isaiah meant, Isaiah 45, because the only way to understand Isaiah 45 verse 9, is to read Genesis properly. So by saying create. Now, when we use create, and I've seen people mention that word create a couple of times, you say take something out of nothing, and that's not what it means. Create actually has to do with giving something a purpose. Many times create deals with evolving, something evolving out of something already existing. The word bara. So when it says, I form light, I create darkness, that has nothing to do with the fact that God is the author of darkness, But in Genesis chapter 1, he does create darkness in the sense of giving darkness a purpose, a function. Separating darkness, putting it different from light, is bara, is creative. So this word doesn't mean that, you know, I invented it. That's not what it means. It simply means that I separated it, also means I created it. I gave it a purpose, right? Or I named it, is also part of creation. To describe function in the Hebrew of the word bara is what's going on here. So in Psalm 51, for example, and verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. That's not out of nothing. It simply means from what I have, make something out of it. Then you have Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon our assemblies a cloud of smoke by day. It means it will bring it out from Mount Zion. Isaiah 57 and 19, the word bara. Isaiah 57 and 19. Isaiah 57 and 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, to him that is near, said the Lord, I'll heal him. This is a restorative work called creation. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Isaiah 65 and 17. I create a new heaven and a new earth. That's a renewal called create. Isaiah 65, 17. Isaiah 65, 18. I create Jerusalem. This is not out of nothing. It means to give purpose and function to. And you read the same word bara, Genesis 1, verse 1, Genesis 1, 21. Everything there came out of the chaotic situation. Genesis 1, 27. Let us make man out of our image, after our likeness. Genesis 2, verse 3, 2, verse 4, Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2, Genesis 6, 7. Take it again. Genesis 1, 1, Genesis 1, 21, Genesis 1, 27, Genesis 2, 3, and 4, Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2, Genesis 6, 7. So, darkness is given a purpose, a function. And what we read in Genesis is darkness is not extinguished. Neither are the seas. Rather, it's tamed. Not extinguished, but it's tamed. God is not the author of it, because as we can see, the Spirit of God moved over it. It's tamed. Now look at Psalm 24. And verse 1. Psalm 24 and 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He had established it upon the seas, established it, or founded it upon the seas, established it upon the floods. So just like Genesis, what we are reading here is authority over it. There is not a non-existence. Rather, it's an authority over it. I'll read this from the Septuagint. He laid the foundation of it upon the sea, Genesis again. Upon the rivers, he prepared it. So which means that what he does is to put control over it, to put authority over it. So let's see the things that were never extinguished. Let's start. The seas. What else? The darkness, right? And the night. The seas, the darkness, and the night, they were not extinguished. Now, we started by saying this is a parable. So, and we went to Isaiah. Isaiah said, I created the light and the darkness. And the create there, which is the word bara, does not mean out of nothing. It actually means out of something. How does he create darkness? By separating it from the light. That's a creation there. So by separating darkness from the light, he has done a creative work, bara. So, definitely in scripture, we are going to read consistently. Now, look at Genesis 3:15. After man was tempted and deceived, as it were, as Eve. Genesis 3:15, I was there earlier. And he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed, it will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then, I'll read this, I'll put everything you and the woman, between you and the seed, you watch your head carefully, and this is the Septuagint, and you watch his heel carefully. The way the Septuagint presents it is like two opposing forces, not necessarily anyone having victory over the other. Very strange. We're going to see whether this is correct or not. Now, like I said the other time, they attempt to use this as explaining Romans 16:20 false flag because the words are very different. Romans 16:20 was the church in Rome and the Roman government who were the persecutors. So that's by the way. So we have darkness and light, and we have the waters above and the chaotic waters beneath. And you can now say definitely we have good and evil. Okay? We have good and evil. We're going to also define evil, what it means. So the scriptures are very clear on these existing realities. And not just that we shouldn't deny them, we should understand it. Because that's why it is written. And Jesus said his death, burial, and resurrection was a consequence of what is written in scripture. We have to realize that. Don't forget our subject, discerning the times, how to have a consistent and stable Christian life. And one of the things that affect many believers, and I must say this, and I've said this for a while now, many times people have expectations that don't exist. It also includes something as simple as the marriage of life. People get married and expect something that won't exist. You must know the realities in the world. I'm not talking about realities of the world. It's what is right here in God's word. Not what you have to read in a blog or in the news. I'm saying what is right there in the word so that you are well informed in the word. So sometimes people expect what God doesn't say to expect. They want what God never promised. And I recall this case, this is where I've said this before, where, in fact, I've had someone recently even come to me for the same counsel, and I said, well, I'm thinking that my wife was once put to bed, but the Bible says that we the Hebrew women don't labor. They just give birth. And the person told me there's a book written by someone. I said, I respect the person. I read the book, but unfortunately, the interpretation was wrong. So then I asked me a question. I said, Pastor, well, how then, so we read the book, and we acted upon it, and we got the result. Now, the problem they now had was when they read the book and got the first child, and of course, not that the woman did not labor, but she acted like she did not. You know how Pentecostals are like, you know, just, it's not there, but it's there. So by the time they have the second child, so when they said, well, but the second child, and he went on and said, but you didn't see it in the next time. Say yes. Why? He said the first one was a miracle. And I've told you before, so many times when it comes to miracles, you don't have to get the scriptures right. The scriptures could just be as simple as, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, say, oh, healing is by heaven. And you're healed. But you see, you cannot be consistent that way. What will make you consistent is the proper appreciation, because you are not likely to have known what happened. Where you acted on a scripture that you did not even understand and you got a miracle, you will be thinking it is your interpretation of that scripture that got the result where it was not. So the problem will now be to do it again and again now becomes a problem. Who's following what I'm saying here? So that's what we're dealing with here. So I said to them, so when I said, it was years ago, say, Igbo woman, I said, what is Igbo woman? Said, the Bible says that it is not, they were different from the Egyptians. I said, are you an Igbo woman? Said, by the virtue of the Abrahamic covenant. You know how we are as a Pentecost. We just jam what that one. Say, Abrahamic covenant. I said, okay, good. Can we read the text together? Now look at it. What was going on? I said, look again. It's not true. Yeah. And then he said, can't we just believe God for birth without pains? I said, yes, you can. But not that text. So that when you don't get it, you don't say, God said it. Are you following what I'm saying? Anyway, they resolved that and they went ahead to do whatever they had to do. So the truth is, we need to have a proper biblical perspective. Hallelujah. Are you here? Perspective of the faith. You know, if you just like ministry, when you side out the ministry and you see someone down and the person is bubbling with, and you're sharing the word of God, the person, yes! You know, back then, in my earlier days, I'm still very early, someone told me, said, you know, that I just found myself, the only thing I want to read is my Bible. And I was happy to hear it. Listen very well though. This was years back. Said, my Bible. In fact, I don't want to read any other thing. Says my Bible. About 6 years down the line, I heard someone say, what do you mean? The same me that was happy that someone said, only my Bible, that's what I want to read. And 6 years down the line, I heard someone say, what do you mean by that? Put down your Bible. What changed? Same person. Right? My appreciation and interpretation of scripture, right, has now been coupled with my perspective. Because your perspective will change. Now, I need to follow this series very well. And one of the things I believe God to receive in these meetings for all of us is wisdom from our experiences. Many of us don't know how to use our experiences. We run from the experiences. So I said, from the experience. Just like somebody starting out in church and then someone said, well, the first day he wants to do inauguration. I said, inauguration. People will come, church inauguration. They will come. So he was not carried away by that first day. So he now hired more chairs for the next real service. Inauguration, he shared food. Other pastors were there. Other people, family, everybody was there to by the next. Keyboardist didn't come. He was waiting and discouraged by the Sunday afterwards. Because he had spent all the money on the inauguration. He didn't have money to pay the rent for the third Sunday. So he had to leave Lagos. And he started the church in Lagos. I don't want to tell you the area, so you won't guess. He now had to go back to Ibadan. Because at least Ibadan, you can use in front of Queen's Hall. There. You're under the tree. You will see people like you. You will now be saying solid Bible teaching. Well, you want to prove to your audience they should come next time. You'll be explaining things that they don't need. So they will know this man is deep. I'm coming next Sunday. So I said, he said, but what happened? I said, you just had to grow up. Are you here? Some people have just jumped out, I'm not called to ministry, I'm not this one. A brother told me that years ago, he said, Veronica, you are the one that is called. I said, why? He said, I prayed for 3 weeks for my first service. My brother just came to show me some moral support. And when he saw that we're the only two after 40 minutes, he pretended that he was going to go and take something and he left. So, he said, Veronica, let me tell you, I'm called to the choir. But what I did there was, I just was quiet because the experience he was giving me, he didn't know I had it. Are you here? That's not where we'll get to all that. So, you must realize that the scriptures recognize darkness and chaos. Right? Scriptures don't ignore it. That's why it's there. By the time you read Isaiah, how many years arise and shine for the light is come? It said darkness shall cover them. After how many years? Gross darkness is people. You get to John 8, I'm the light of the hidden, will not walk in darkness. Ah, he's still there. Then you get to 1 John. You see darkness again. Ah, this darkness from Genesis, katabole. You say, what's going on? It means it's something you need to understand. And God did not extinguish darkness. He gave to his creatures the authority to rule over them and to deal with them. So you must know this and have the proper understanding. Are you here? And you know, contrary winds is what either drives your conviction deeper or drives them away. And many of us do not even expect it. You're not supposed to expect it, but whether you expect it or not, it doesn't stop it. So, that understanding is very important. When you see people who are consistent men and women in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are people that were able to acknowledge those realities and equally confront them. Are you here? So, in the parables of Jesus, we find the truth from the foundation of the world. Look at Matthew 7. So, chaos, right? Chaos is there, right? Darkness, light. So God didn't take it out, right? Didn't extinguish them. And neither can you. Does it even go that God did not? I will. By the power of God. Matthew 7. in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. 25 is interesting because it's raining. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a man which built his house upon the sand. Notice he uses the word built. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. The same experience. And beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. So you have two different persons that have the same experiences, or let's say the same opposition, but they didn't have the same experiences or eventualities. What was the difference? Now, I'll read the Luke 6 part. Luke 6. The Luke 6 1, 48 and 49 of the same parable by Jesus. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, or dug deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. Luke is very explicit. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Look at 49. He that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately he fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So Luke says to us that that second house did not have a foundation. The word foundation is the Greek word temelios. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. So which means there is something that stabilizes the house. You don't make a house stand by wishing it does not rain. Say to your neighbor, it will not rain. It will never rain. Say, your path is just going to be shining. That you have no obstacles. What kind of prayer is that? You will never have obstacles at all. You won't see any stumbling block in life. Is that a prayer? That's like the things they write on cards. All those birthday cards. Say you are a candle in the wind. All those things don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. You can't wish it away. You can't wish darkness away. You can't wish chaos away. It's an existing fact in God's word, written there for you to appreciate it. So say it's going to be. It had no foundation. It had no foundation. Don't forget, we're looking at the consistent and stable Christian life. Now, verse 48 says, it could not shake it. That's important. It was not shaken. Now, which means that the man who built the first one prepared for it. He had it in mind. The way he built it. Now, if you have been into any kind of building, you know, you get people to go and survey and say, no, this kind of place is this kind of foundation you need. They say, no. No. Say, you need to spend this amount of money. Say, it's too much. And I say, no, build it like that. The build like that, is it a right foundation? I say, no. See, what's important is that I have the love of God. I have the, say, just put it there. You know? Huh? The guy said, just put my money on time. So I don't want you to hold me for long. I'm not saying anything more than that. You know, because you are being stupid. Do you get it? Jesus said the rains will come. The flood will come. It will blow. He said it was not shaking at all. And the word here, to build upon, a foundation. A foundation is what sustains the house. It's what sustains the house. And what makes it not shaking? So you can, there's a point of a Christian life where you are just excited, But if you get to a point where you are deliberately building to last, you are not being on excitement. You are building to last. Before I started the work of the ministry, I was going to evangelism, we'll go for crusade and all that. It was one time like that we came from one crusade by Reverend Omar Okpai. I go back to the room, I told the guy, I said, I'm going to preach the gospel. I saw miracles. And I saw how the man, you know, the way he would do his hand like this and the power of God to move. I said, yes. I went for one retreat like that, Reverend Paul, you know, do I say, we called Brother Paul there and said, and the man was going to share the word, you know, and I said, yes. The work of the ministry. 2 weeks. Everything is gone. But that was the one that lasted most. 2 weeks. After a few days, I'm the same person coming out for altar call. The guy, the doctor, Mark, might come out for altar call. I thought all I had to do is just stand on the moon. One day, I too will stand. You know? There's a foundation. Is that okay? That is built. Are you here? You can predict the house because of the foundation. Am I here? Are you following what I'm saying? You can predict it because of the foundation that was laid. Remember, I'm talking about stability. And I probably said discerning the times. Are you here? Look at Isaiah 33. Hallelujah. And verse 6. I'll start from 5. The Lord is exalted for the dwellers on high, and he has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom, he says, and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. Strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. He said wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability. And that word stability is the word emunah. E-M-U-N-A-H or E-M-U-N-A-H. Stability. Hallelujah. Say stability. You know, people can be very fickle. Fickle friendships, fickle relationships, fickle commitments. A fellow told me years back, I'm sure he's going to watch this and maybe feel bad, but it's been years, I have to say. He said, let me tell you something. Came to me very little and said, I had not seen you, and the Lord Jesus Christ showed me your picture. Say, I saw you. You were the one I saw. He said, follow this man. People say things like that very easy. Follow this man. Follow this man. Is he here? Is he around? I don't think so. You don't even know him. People just say, who is this man? Say, I'm going to do this one. I know that there's one guy like that. He wrote big pages of the work of the ministry. So he said, I'm saying 5 years, I'm going to this church, I'm going to do this. I was looking at him. So he invited me to come for one of his meetings. And I came. I don't know how many of us were in that room. His protocol was more than the guest. His protocol. He now wore white like Pastor Chris. And Benny Hinn. You know, the thing that's what just went white. It was not working. His protocol, I'm serious. The protocol was more than all of us seated. It was more. So he was now trying to get testimonies. He now said, tell me what's happening. Here? He now put camera. He now did not focus the camera on all of us here. You are building on the wrong thing. You are building on impression. Impression. One guy was going to start a fellowship on the campus. The very first day, he hired photographer. I asked him, are you an events planner? First day, photographer. So they're taking him as he's walking. I said, this one, it's not wind that will blow this house. It's the horn of a car. First day. You want to start praying for long. The very first day, as you reach 45 minutes, it's not 1 hour. Guys, I'm tongue. I'm tongue. I never use your hair, right? Tongue. The wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability. The word emuna means consistency. Look at Exodus 17. Are you in church? And 12. It says, Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him and sat there on. And Aaron and all, they said, they stayed up his hands, and one on one side and one on the other side, and his hands were steady. That's what they mean as steady. Steady. And Isaiah said, wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom. And the knowledge that I'm going to explain that to go on. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability. You can't build on excitement. Thank God for good friends and great people that surround you in the work of the ministry, in church. You cannot build on them either. Because if all is about friends, or you're just going to become a parasite Christian. The stability, steady, consistent. Are you here? Look at Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. He's talking about God. He's our rock, he says. His work is perfect. all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, emunah, consistency. A God of stability. For Psalm 26:23. Now this word is taken from the verb to believe. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, a man, A-M-A-N, where you have the word amen, and it was counted to him for righteousness. To believe God. So, when you believe God, the fruit of it ought to be consistency. Reliability. Stability. Guys, there is nothing to be proud of when you are inconsistent. A Christian should be ashamed that he's not stable. And you know, don't look for friends that will tell you, I understand. I understand. We are all different. You know what they say? We are all different. You know, your makeup is different. It's not just makeup, it's costume. He's different. You know, we have different temperaments. We have different temperaments. We have this one. It's when you come to Christian character that you start having temperament. Why didn't you tell your boss at work, pay me according to my temperament? They give you task and well, you go all out. When you come to church, say, my temperament, no, I'm naturally temperament. Say, everybody will be paid according to temperament. Ferrari, melancholy. 50K. Sanguine. 75K. They were going to be paying choleric 100,000. And they were paying melancholy 50,000. Sanguine or sardine 60,000. Phlegmatic is 70K. Say, I've always been choleric. You that you don't know, no. I'm a claw. It's when it comes to Christian conduct that you bring out those useless cards. We have checked VAR. Fa, 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 foul. You are not like anything. You are born of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Accept that you are a lazy Christian. You are not building a foundation. Hallelujah. Wisdom and knowledge. We see what it is. Shall be the stability of the times. The version shall be the storehouse, a safe place. Wisdom and knowledge will make you stable. Glory to God. You can look yourself down in 10 years and say, I'll remain the same. It's not by wishing. You can look at yourself 20 years and say, no, I will be. I'll remain the same. Because Jesus said he founded it. He laid a foundation for it. He laid a foundation for it. The man did. He laid a foundation. Seeing from afar what could happen. Hallelujah. Are you here? Now, I want you to see the word times. The word times there is the word period. ETH. That's in Isaiah 33:6. A period. It's not a particular time. A period. Which means that the word of God that we put to work and we build on who will be our stability in this period, in these times and seasons of life. Because seasons will change. It will change. When we were on campus, we had vibrant prayer lives. Solid evangelism. We studied the word of God. We left the campus. We stabilized the building doing NYC. We were doing rugged. When you started looking for a job, you started moving from praying the Pauline prayers to Psalms. Secretly, you pray the Pauline prayer and prayer group. Psalm, your devotion. I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. After a while, you know, you say, that was then. You know why? Because you never laid the right foundation. You didn't. There's a foundation that has to be laid based on where you're going or where you're going to. Are you in church? Look at 1 Peter 5. I trust God that in this series you receive wisdom. Because we are going to be very practical. Amen. 1 Peter 5. I'll start from verse 7. I'll start from 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Say, he cares for me. Be sober. Imagine. I don't say casting your cares. It's not by saying glory. He said, be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's take verse 10 together. And the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and set to you. You know, a Nigerian, someone said, set to you there. I saw it too. Set to. That's 666. The word set to here is the same word foundation. Temelios is a verb. It means, I'll read the original Greek to you. It says, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and found you. Make you founded. Temelio. To make you grounded. Are you here? He says you will suffer. Which means contrary things will happen. But you are meant to be solid. Are you here? Are you here? Glory to God. So you have found it. Stable. Whatever God has called you to do, to be, right? Will have contrary circumstances. Whatever he has called you to do. Whatever it is. He says you will suffer a while. But you'll be settled. You'll be stable. You'll be strengthened. We need to prepare our hearts. And do exactly what the man did. He founded in anticipation. In preparation. I remember years ago, must be 25 years ago, we had a series of Holy Ghost meetings then, and prophecies were coming out from right, center, left. We had different meetings. It was glorious times. Interestingly, where we hold this meeting, where you now meet. The very place where you meet now. We're having those meetings then. Glorious times. So, brethren were really excited. Faith Family Network. Say, we are taking the nations. We take the word of God. Everyone else, different prophecies, people were prophesying. Because we had prayed for days. Sometimes we'll pray from 5 to about 9. We'll go rest, come back 12, we'll pray till the whole day. Prophecies were coming out. So they noticed I wasn't excited. So I said, Pastor, I said, this is not excitement, this is work. He said, we know, sir. That same evening when we were done, we went for what we call storm. And I remember, I reminded one of them just last year, one single day, this wonderful, I wouldn't want to say male or female, you know, took a whole street by storm. Got people born again, people were, you know, and it was so overwhelming. I said, remember then. He said, I do. He said, but you no longer do it again. Because I told you then, There's nothing exciting. Of course, you'll be full of joy as a believer, but this is work. When God gives you an assignment like that, when you see the path He has laid for you, you go and lay a foundation. Are you here? Years back when I don't want to do the work of a ministry anymore. This is me that I've done series of teachers. I said, I'm fed up. So I'm going to run away. I planned how I was going to run. And I didn't tell anybody. So the people in the fellowship were waiting. They were just going to see nobody. I was planning to run away. They didn't know. I came for the fellowship. I preached. They liked the preaching. And they said, I can't wait till the next service. Me, I will not come. I planned to run away. Because I wasn't expecting the things I saw. You know, when you wake up at night and you dream, and you're like, hey? Right, center, left. And God spoke to me then. This is not you, this is me. He said, man, you didn't have the strength. I was going to run. I planned, my own japa was going to be chariots of fire. I planned how I was going to travel. I'm going to write a letter to the brethren. I. Your former pastor. I'm sorry this has to come to you like this. I'm remembering the words I say. But you know, there are things that man proposes and God disposes. I was going to put something there that, well, in prayers, I found out that what I was doing was not the exact will of God. I trust God. Bro, so and so can teach. Bro, I was preparing my letter. I've never got this detailed before. I've said this for the first time. The letter was in my head. So I started scribbling it. Remember I was on a double-decker bed. I wrote something. I said, don't worry. The best time to write it is in nighttime traveling. That the unction will flow. The reason why I had that kind of option was because there was no strong foundation. Whatever I was doing. Now, I'm speaking ministry now, but I want you to apply it to many areas of your life. Why are you running from contrary winds? Why? Is there anything in the Bible that contradicts it? No. There's nothing. Because God left the chaos. He only separated it, right? He left the darkness. He only separated it. Are you in church? He only separated it. So we are only separate from it. Are you here? That's what's going on. He left it. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Because we're going to study a whole lot in the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 50. I'm going to read to you verse 20. But as for you, Joseph says, you thought evil against me. But God meant it for good. To bring it to pass, as it is today, to save much people alive. Wow. He said you thought it. He used the thing twice. Chesab. You counted it for evil. God counted it for good. Now, look at it. That means you need to know the kind of perception you have. That means your own perception was that it was evil. Yes, just like Genesis 1 and 2, verse 2, it was darkness. But it says God had another perception. Now, look at what the writer says here. He says, you thought it for evil, the word Ra, R-A-H. God saw something, the word good in the Hebrew means purposeful. Hallelujah. Purposeful. You know, back then we say, how would Joseph could have gone to Egypt without his brothers? How? How? Visa lottery? How? How would he have gone? How? Would he have just said, guys, you know I have to go to Egypt because I need to interpret the king's dream to save much people? Are you here? He said, you thought it for evil. And God thought it for his acceptable and purposeful. Now watch what he says. To bring to pass the word asa means to reform something. That is, something is in a bad situation, but it can be remodeled. You know, one day I was studying the scriptures, like I do, as much as I can every day. And I stood up that day and I said to myself, the only thing available for God in scripture was darkness. That was the only thing. But see what it is today. See the church. Hallelujah. See believers all around the world. Hallelujah. The only thing available for him was evil. And see what he did with it. Glory to God. He says, watch this. To bring it to pass. Watch. To save. The second toe. It means to order. To order. That's a Genesis 1-2 word. To order it. To put it under control. And redirect it. Hallelujah. That's what he has done. That's what he has done. Did God invent the evil? No. Did he get into the heart of Joseph's brothers? No. But did he make that situation good? Yes. Was their envy inevitable? Yes. Hallelujah. Are you in church? I refuse to be unstable in life. I refuse to be unstable. What makes us unstable? When our expectations are dashed. When we want things to go in a way, it doesn't go that way. And the reason why it's like that is because we are building on the wrong things. Genesis 37. Are you in church? You know, the genesis of this problem for Joseph was the fact that his father, Genesis 37, Israel, verse 7, verse 3, loved Joseph more than all his children. That's an Old Testament word that we're going to explore. Because he was a son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. He loved him. Look at 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and couldn't speak peaceably unto him. Do you know that from this chapter till the 5th chapter of Genesis, there is not one single utterance of Joseph that showed that he was under that kind of pressure? Have you ever been disliked by the entire household? It's coming, you know. He didn't respond. He didn't say anything. There was no time they spoke peaceably to him. They would say, they were going to say, Joseph was that guy. Is even our father's child. You know, they're joking. They're making. It is looking. And in the midst of it, watch this. God shows him a vision. And he told it to his brethren. He's innocent. He said in the second time. And in what God showed him, God didn't tell him the how. He didn't tell him the where it was going to take place. But he held it. They orchestrated to kill him. And nothing was going fine. He got sold off. And sold off into slavery. Didn't look good. After much visions and revelations, the next thing you are a slave. And it would have been lovely if among those slaves now had one very strong brother in Christ. Who says, don't worry, brother. God is telling me that what the devil meant for evil. There was no such message. Some guys say, I'm in depression now. This is the 20th century language. Everybody said, like, I mean, so what's going on? I said, bro, what's happening? After the visions and revelations. After the flow of the Spirit. And look what's going on. I'm wondering, was that really God? And he was like, alone in Potiphar's house. You know, he didn't go in Potiphar's house and he said, Joseph, we asked you to clean the living room. You didn't clean the living room. I'm the one. He didn't wear such attitude. Hallelujah. No, he didn't. He did his work well. He was a man of purpose. He handled his job well. A man that had been taken for dead. And Potiphar's wife began to like him. That means he was likable. Hallelujah. She couldn't have liked a guy that was always grumbling every day. So you're even living righteously. Temptation struck him. He's praying in tongues. He's raising his hands. She can see him. This guy is so godly. Come and sleep with me. She didn't say, come and teach me the word of God. And who do you think Potiphar will believe? And he goes back into jail. Again, there's no brother in Christ there to say, before you came, God showed me that the brother is going to come. He says, no, that's persecution. He said, oh, God will take nothing. He stays there. No attitude. We're going to get to all of this. No attitude. He's no longer praying in tongues. He's just singing. And the songs he's singing. All sorts of singing. He's just singing. Then he begins singing from Bible songs to, to songs that don't have, yes, my shoulder, you can lean on me. you don't know whether it's Jesus or so. There's a friend waiting for a brother in the bed. The one we have been singing, resting through your church. We'll never need defeat. We'll never know defeat. Is this not defeat? Let me sing my song. Fruitfulness is here. Is this the fruitfulness? Let me be singing my song. Here's my shoulder, you can lean on me. Then he has to sing some new songs. He lives in me. Who? In the mama. Who? Whoever. You don't think that is he anymore. No! Joseph wasn't like that. Everything they gave him, he did well. So you are not doing well at work. He said, brother, you don't handle this task well. Actually, you've been quiet since. We gave you a job in the department for 4 weeks now. He said, come and tell me. Come and tell me. Believe how you have every day, working in spirit every day. Walking in love every day. Every day is with you. Every day. The one unserious Christian now gets it and say, tell me, open your heart. I say, you know, my father molested me. My mother detested me. My cousins contested with me. My brothers attested me. I said, oh, I wondered what was happening. You know, so I can't just concentrate. I'll go and tell the boss. He has been detested. Go and find your job elsewhere. This is not the therapy center. He didn't do that. Do you know, in that situation, he still had the gifts of the Spirit working. He was fulfilling his calling. He was saving people when he was not saved. As it were, in the natural. Hallelujah. What kept him? You will know at the end of it. And we're going to study it all together. What kept him? The way he spoke to his brothers. You see a man that was founded on a strong foundation. I choose to be stable. I don't take a detour. I go straight. Hallelujah. I walk at the path God has given me. I'm stable. There's nothing to be proud of when you are not stable. You set out to preach the gospel. To live right. Say, every month, I'm going to do this for the Lord. You must expect contrary things. You must expect distractions. But what are you building that commitment on? On what is strong? So we're going to share all that together. Are you here? So you learn to be stable. Because when you are like that, you are reliable. We can take your words and act upon it. Are you here? I purposely started with Joseph. He had nobody encouraging him. So there was nobody encouraging me. He had nobody. His dad would have done it. He was away from his dad. His dad didn't see him. His dad thought he wasn't alive. And God said, his dad was a prophet. God said nothing to his dad so that he will be fully built. No matter how you love someone, you have to allow him or her to be strong to fulfill his purpose in life. When he went through different motions, nobody was around him sharing the word. There was nobody's post he was reading. There was no teaching he carried with him. MP3 or MP4 to release. He was just reading on the word. He kept God's dream, even when it seemed like it was a mere wish, and it remained stable. We have the Holy Ghost. You know, in the Bible, that's the first person. The song will say he has the Spirit of God in him. That's the first person in the Bible. Glory to God. And I trust God as we keep listening to this, to become stable, reliable. Reliable in our lives. Trustworthy. Consistent. You know you can be consistent. You know you have no excuse to not be consistent. You can be consistent. You can be consistent. You can be consistent. The first thing you have to do today, I'm closing on this. Decide to never give excuses. Decide. Make up your mind to never give excuses.
was stoned, taken for dead. He didn't go to the clinic. He went straight to Galatia. He went there wounded. They saw the bruises on his body. What did he have that didn't give room for excuses? The Holy Ghost is in us too. We're filled with the Spirit and filled with the Word of God. Stand to your feet. And I trust God as we teach this. You grow in your perception. Listen, and I'll close on this finally tonight. Allow God to give you the right experiences. You know, we people of God say, the Word of God, not experiences. The way to be built in the Word is by experiences. You need experiences. You need experiences to toughen you. You need discomfort to strengthen you. You need opposition to deepen your conviction. You need temptations to show how true you are. Don't run for what ought to make you. Did you hear me? Lift your hands and pray. Lord, that in these times we discern the times.